Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome into the Ciroc Point After. You're hanging out with the Cajun Cannon right before Christmas Eve, folks. After the Saints lose 34-0 Monday Night Football. No Christmas good tidings here, Cajun Cannon. We thought it was going to be a rough matchup. 14.5 points wasn't enough from the odds makers to cover this game.
No, I think the Saints even make Scrooge or the Grinch look good. boy, you want to talk about the poo-pooing your Christmas. It's like, man, I'm going to do something else. No, I was talking to my wife. No, she goes, I'm not watching this. Watch the beginning. But did you see how the ebb and flow of the game? No. You don't want to ruin your holiday cheer. What are you going to cheer for? You sure in hell ain't going to cheer for the Saints. What? That was embarrassing. I did not even describe it. It's so embarrassing that I try to be positive. You know, I'm an optimist instead of a pessimistic person. But there ain't no way. It started last week. And the damn glass is half empty.
There were more positives last week, that's for sure.
Because of the comeback. But yeah. That first half, it's like, no, it's half empty. It's not half full. So I don't know how you describe it, blow it up, whatever. We got to tweak this, tweak that. How about you tweak nothing? How about you just start all over, whatever?
Yeah. Left the page, right?
Yeah, so I don't know. It's so frustrating with Saints fans because it is what it is, and we have to accept where we're at right now. And I said this at halftime. It is so bad that we were scoreless in the first half now for consecutive games. You got to go back to 1997, Mike Ditka. That was the last time that you went scoreless in back-to-back games in the first half. I'm looking like, hey, you want... I don't know. We look like the Bad News Bears, a football version. I mean, there was 2 minutes left in the third quarter. Colin Saunders tips the ball up. Great play. Looks like he's going to intercept it. And then Alante Taylor knocks it out of his hands. I mean, it was almost comical. You're looking at that. You got to be freaking kidding me. And if you look at it, and Jeff Duncan has said that, you have to look at who you're beating. It is the NFL, pros versus pros. But to be relevant, don't you have to beat winning teams? Because don't winning teams go to the playoffs? Well, the Saints currently have played 10 teams with a winning record, and they won in 9.
Woof.
I'm glad one of the wins was against Atlanta in week 10. But, but look at Atlanta. All of a sudden, they change quarterbacks, and they come with a big win, and Tampa Bay. So I'll be interested. Maybe, we don't play Atlanta anymore. Maybe we can ruin Tampa Bay. But some Saints fans might say, oh, no, we don't care about Tampa Bay. We'd rather have Tampa in the playoffs than Atlanta. But when you think about it and where we're at right now, which is totally unacceptable, this is the fourth consecutive season now the Saints have missed the postseason. The last time they failed to make the playoffs for four consecutive seasons was 2002 to 2005. Was that the heyday with Coach Haslett or something? That was before Sean Payton, Drew Brees got here. So I'm just telling you where we're at right now as an organization, whether Mickey Loomis or whoever. Ms. Gale wants to be optimistic. Dennis Slauson, he's going to look at the bottom line money. And obviously, we got to keep that dome full, but you got to give him something to cheer for. So Mickey and then Greg Bensel and part of probably relation on how you're going to spend this. You can't make chicken salad out of chicken you-know-what. I mean, the bottom line is you have to win. You're in a production business, and you might say, oh, we're dealing with all these injuries. Yes, I understand all that. But how do you handle adversity? Look at the Lions. Everybody's hurt on their defense. Aren't they still in the hunt? Maybe might represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. So, yeah, you can't. And I'm not saying that doesn't come into play, but you can never, ever use that as an excuse. It was so bad at one point, Stephen, and you had acknowledged and made me aware of this, to show you how even the Packer fans are disinterested in this boring-ass game. This might be one of the most boring Monday Night Football games in Monday Night Football history. I've been part of games on Monday Night Football, part of a shutout, but we did the shutting out. We wasn't shut out. 1991, we beat the Raiders 27-0, but never got shut out. That's embarrassing because the whole nation's watching. Well, to show you how the Packer fans, who they love their Packers, the cheeseheads, they were so disinterested that the PA announcer at Lambeau Field had to get on the loudspeaker, and the Packers on offense, instead of watching their own team and cheering what they're doing, they're chanting, "The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck."
Ladies and gentlemen, please.
Yeah.
The Green Bay Packers are on offense.
On our offense. Oh, participate in the game. Don't worry about the Bears still suck. To show you, we suck, but they have an even more suckier teams. That's how bad. Like Charlie was saying, it don't matter if we lose the rest of our season, how you try to move up in the draft. No, look how sorry the Giants were. We saw when we played the Giants that game. We had to, you know, you block a kick, whatever. Oh, we won. Then with the Raiders, I don't know what's going to happen in the Dome against the Raiders. So, no, we're bad right now. You know, I said, we kind of like, we're not too bad, but we're not too good. We're kind of hovering in the middle. Right now we in, 2021, I think. Just look where we're going to pick in the draft. And it just goes to show you, the bad teams in NFL this year, they are bad. You know, you truly have the haves and the have-nots when you look at overall in the NFL draft. Now, the Saints have never been shut out on Monday Night Football. After 53 Monday Night Football games, I guess there's always a first.
There you go.
And it actually happened. And then you would think, even with the rule changes and all the points they scored, you probably get a shutout now and then, or maybe a handful. Well, the Saints became the first team to be shut out this season. Don't you have to score to win? In other words, in theory, the Packers could have got a safety, and we'd have lost 2-0, like a baseball score. So you got to score to win, and we got shut out. Now, if you look at it, it's the largest shutout on Monday night since 2005. Steve, you made me aware of this. Since 2005, so that was the Katrina year. The largest shutout on Monday Night Football since 2005, the Seahawks, when the Eagles were probably, they probably were the Feagles. I don't know. they lost 42-0.
Eagles cry.
Yeah, so you have had shutouts on a Monday night, but you just never want to be a part of that because the nation's watching. You don't want to be shut out because it's not a regional game, Sunday night, Monday night. If you're going to get shut out on prime time, give me a Thursday, but never a Sunday and Monday night because that's a lot of history there, football that people won't forget. And to think how quickly things can change. Well, I said this in the pregame. It was September. That wasn't that long ago, not even a year and a half of 2023. We were winning 17-0. Like, we were getting shut out. We were shutting out the Packers in September of 1923 at Lambeau Field. Going into the fourth quarter, we were winning 17-0. The first game Jordan Love started, they came back and they beat us. Was that 18-17?
Brutal.
So, no, you could say, like, man, that was a hard-fought game and all. It was hard-fought nothing about this game. No, it was simply embarrassing and nothing to write home about. If you look at it now in primetime games, like I'm saying, okay, why would they put the Saints on primetime next year? If I'm an executive, now maybe they might be forced to put you on Thursday Night Football, but why would they put the Saints on Sunday and Monday Night Football? Drew Brees ain't playing no more than Sean Payton. We ain't scoring. It ain't entertaining. You know, we used to be like on five games all of a sudden, prime time all the time. We might not be on any. We might be hanging out with like the Jaguars or whoever you think is that. They're going to put a New York, the Giants, just because it's New York. But Jacksonville's a small market. We're a small market. Why are they going to put us on prime time when they can look at this? We've been outscored in prime time games versus the Chiefs, remember? Monday Night Football. versus the Broncos, Sean Payton Thursday night, and the Packers Monday night. We've been outscored 93-23. 93-23. No, that's not even close. That's outright embarrassing when you think about it. That are we even in the hunt? I mean, it's just not getting it done what it takes to even be relevant, like in the NFC South. You know, if we were competing right now, I don't know whether you Tampa Bay or the Falcons or vice versa, and then they're right home about the NFC South team right now. No, the NFC North, yes. Come on. When you look at the Lions, you look at the Packers, you look at the Vikings, yeah, that's where you want to be in that kind of competition.
All three playoff bound.
Yes, all three playoff bound. But you look at the NFC South, somebody has to win it. And who knows, it might go to the last game because the Falcons, they own the tiebreaker. You know, Tampa Bay's in trouble. All of a sudden, they had a big game. Who did they crush? They crushed the Chargers. And then 2 weeks ago, was it? I think it was the Chargers, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And then look at that embarrassing game they just had against the Cowgirls. What of all teams? Come on.
Tampa Bay. You got good Baker and bad Baker.
Yeah, so looking at how kind of this game unfolded, I'm trying to look at some positive, but...
not many.
Time... No, it's not, I can't. I'm trying to. Time of possession. No, they had the ball 15 minutes more, basically almost 15 minutes more than the Saints. 24-14 on first downs. You look at third down, because you look at third down, fourth down. Then it seemed like the Packers, even if it's fourth down, to hell with it, we going for it. I don't know. They went for fourth down four times. They were 4-for-4, 100%.
They can't stop us.
Yeah, exactly. It might be fourth and five, fourth and one, fourth and two. Eh. We're going for it. So they end up, that's terrible in the Saints defense. If you count third down and fourth down, they were 9-of-16, the continued drives. We were 4-of-11, 36%. We've been hovering at 30% on third down offense, which is terrible. You got to be at least mid-40s to be worth your salt. Total yards. More than 2-to-1, we had 196. They had 404 yards. Now, this didn't surprise me. And Coach Rizzi and the Saints defense, they knew this. It's not just Josh Jacobs running the ball, even though he only had 13 carries. He was so far ahead. They didn't have to use him as a workhorse. But he averaged 5.3 yards a carry. He ended up with 69 yards. But the key is, you know, a leopard don't change his spots. Well, the damn Saints run defense don't change their spots. You could count on, I don't know who's even the running backs for the Raiders. I'm going to have to look at all that when we get ready to play them. But I guarantee you the Raiders in Tampa Bay are going to average 5 yards a carry. It's just where we're at right now. You know, you need to be holding opponents like under 4 yards, 3.8 if you're truly getting it done like we've done in the past. But today, they average 4.8 yards a carry, and we gave up coming into the game 4.9. So when I round it off, that's 5 yards a carry, which is not getting it done. They ran the ball 39 times with Unit Packers, who do had 188 yards rushing. And you know how it was promising? When you look at that turnover margin. They say, Abear, how many times you talk about the damn turnover? You know, are we taking it away or are we protecting it? And if you truly at your best, no, that matters, playoff game, or if the game's hard fought and it's closely fought. And you know, last year that was mind-boggling. We were plus 11. I don't know how. You know, just look at, Steve, I want you to look up the teams this year. If somebody's hovering around plus 10 or better, if they're not playoff relevant.
Yeah, Charlie and I were looking at this in the pregame show, and surprisingly, one of the teams that was up there in the plus-minus ratio was the Bears, and it was like, whoa, that's kind of, plus 8.
Okay,
that was,
but I'm talking about double digits. Okay, look who, see, tell me who's double digit.
Plus 20, the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, you wonder why where the Bills are at?
Plus 17, Pittsburgh Steelers. Plus Steelers? 11, Houston Texans. Plus 10, Packers, Chargers, Vikings.
Okay.
Those are all the double-digit teams. Sorry.
Okay, you see who's relevant. Well, the Saints are plus 11. Well, I thought, man, how we started off the season, we were plus 4. Remember that? Oh, we're trending in the right direction.
Sure.
You remember the Eagles? The Eagles, we took the ball away three times. We had a 5-point lead with under 2 minutes, and we run into each other. and they scored a touchdown. You got to be the bad news football Bears. I mean, but we're Saints. I don't know.
Bad news Saints.
Yeah, but bad news Saints, however you're going to describe it. I mean, but now, Steve, to go to show you, we're minus two for the game. We came into the game plus one.
And
so now we're now minus two for the game. Now we minus one for the season. And I said this in the pregame. And we had talked about this under Coach LaFleur, Matt LaFleur. I love that French name. Since he's taken over the Green Bay Packers, you know what their record is at home when they win the turnover battle? Not just, it just had to be plus one. They were plus two. They're now 25-1. 25 wins and one loss. So Coach Rizzi, even
why are you always talking about the turnover margin, Bobby?
I like that. 25-1, Matt LaFleur and the Packers at home. I know Coach Rizzi was aware of that, but it didn't make a difference. We were aware of that, but we didn't do nothing about it. We were minus one for the season. Well, minus two for the game, minus one.
There were chances.
For the season. Yeah, we were chances. Colin Saunders, that play, I mean, he bats the ball up. He's getting intercepted, and Alante Taylor knocks it out of his hand. I mean, you're on the same team. But you don't have no vision, or you just wanted to selfishly get a pick for you? No, if your teammate's there to catch it, I don't care if he's a lineman, you let him catch it first, and then you go block for him. You don't try and take the ball away from him. That's what it looked like. Just look at that highlight. And then the damn drop back. I've never seen this in my life. So what is Spencer Rattler, Moses? Like he was parting the Red Sea. All of a sudden, he brings up both his hands, and he just makes them go wide apart, and then he just drops the ball.
Where's the ball, right?
Where's the ball? Like, I said, wait. Something must have happened. And then you look at it over and over again. Maybe I definitely probably slipped out of his hand, but it looked like he just dropped the ball when he's parting the Red Sea, and then the Packers end up recovering. I've never seen nothing like that. That looked like an Aaron Brooks throw going backwards. You know, like when you get spun around, you're disoriented. Oh, we just throw this thing wherever it goes. No, that was a play that's not going to be on the highlight reel for Spencer Rattler when he's showing the grandkids. On that particular play. Now, I thought, I said this in the pregame, and you can utilize him, Foster Moreau. I think Foster Moreau has had a fine season this year. I don't care who's the coach, Foster Moreau's on the team next year. You know, like, get rid of everybody. No, you can't get rid of everybody. Foster Moreau got targeted three times, two catches. He had a 16.5-yard average. That 21-yard catch, I guarantee you, Spencer Rattler probably said, I want to say, you know what, but he said, screw it. And he just threw it.
It was a God's plan throw.
Yeah, I don't know how he got the ball in there. Then that was just for, then Spencer, I mean, Foster Moreau concentrated, came up with the catch. That was like the highlight, the same thing. Now, that was as good as it gets in the NFL, and Foster Moreau was part of that. And I thought, look, Spencer Rattler had a quarterback rating. Had said this, I got to find this in my notes. See, I mean, you remember when I had said before the game that when he has targeted, when Spencer Rattler has targeted Foster Moreau, he had a QB rating, a perfect QB rating. He was like 8 for 8. Well, he had three targets, so now he's 10 for 11, throwing the ball to Foster Moreau. So if Spencer Rattler's playing against the Raiders and Foster Moreau, that's his old team, I guarantee you Foster Moreau wants to do well. But watch Derek Carr. I don't know what kind of man he is, and he's a good man. I think Derek Carr is a great man. I think he's a good family man and all that. But it's a tough business, the NFL. But I know one thing. He wants to beat the Raiders. I can tell you, I don't know what his broke hand and all that. Come on, you're being well compensated. Oh, we're going to save you for next year. Save you for what? Next year? A different coaching staff might want to go in a different direction, and they might eat that money. Didn't Sean Payton and the Broncos eat all that money? Well, let Russ cook. Oh, he ain't going to be cooking in Denver. Now he's cooking good in Pittsburgh. Now he might have to leave. But that's what I'm telling you. Derek Carr, how he left with the Raiders, I'm telling you, he'll want to beat them. But, I mean, he's playing inside. It's not like, oh, my hand's throbbing. It's cold and all that. So I'd be surprised if Derek Carr does not play against the Raiders. Because I think, now he would never admit that in public. Oh, it's no revenge and all that. He would just say like, oh, just another game. I want to be here for my teammates. You know, that old BS.
What if we're dealing with Shane Lemieux at center?
Listen, what's wrong with McCoy now?
Elbow.
It's like between the Pelicans and the Saints and Saints the Pelicans.
We got some voodoo on us.
Why is everybody hurt all the time? It's just mind-boggling. I'm going off on a different tangent on that, but that just bugs me. What? Kendre Miller, okay? Here's your chance. Kendre Miller, be the running back that, be all you could be. You know, be all you could be. We want to cheer for you. Okay, now he had a nice run of 10 yards. He had a nice one, that one run. You think, oh, maybe. But I don't know. He ran eight times. He averaged 1.9 yards a carry. Damn. I mean, slow your roll. Just go play and do something before you can say you're on the level of Alvin Kamara. Come on. Don't even speak Alvin Kamara's name. I mean, Alvin Kamara is the all-time leading guy back in Saints history. You're not Mark Ingram. You're not Deuce McAllister. You're just another running back. You're a little better than Jordan Mims. And ironically, Jordan Mims had more yards than you this game. And he ran only four times. You ran for eight. He had 16 yards. You had 15. Jordan Mims. Who Jordan Mims? On Fresno State? Come on. Mm-hmm. I mean, slow your roll, Kendre Miller. Hopefully you're humble enough now to realize you got to work your behind off to be the back you want to be. You don't have to say nothing. Just go out there and do it. So he has a ways to go. Now, before we go to the break, and we're going to get to the callers, defensively, I don't know. Sometimes it looks like we wanted to tackle, and other times we not. I mean, Honey Badger ended up with five tackles, but a few times, I don't know if he wanted to tackle, if that makes sense. DeMario Davis, he's old, but he had 10 total tackles, 6 unassisted, a quarterback hurry, tackle for a loss. I thought Colin Saunders, he ended up having 4 tackles, quarterback hurry, tackle for a loss, a couple of passes defended, that he was playing hard. You can count on every game JT Gray is going to have a special teams tackle. No, he would start for every team. Now, you say, who's valuable? You know, like I always talk about when McCoy's well, he could start like a center or guard for all the teams. Well, every team, I want JT Gray as a backup safety and be like all pro level special teams. So we do. Not everybody sucks on the team. I'm telling you, it's not quite that bad, but there's nothing to write home about. But JT Gray is not in that number who you can count on. I thought Cam Jordan, the older veteran, not that he built up on what he did last week, but he had a tackle for a loss. He had 5 total tackles. Chase Young was going through the motions. He wants to be compensated next year. So realistically, none to write home about. Pete Warner, I think, is an overachiever. He looks like a good All-American boy. I look at some of these Ohio State players like Bosa. Who's this Ohio State they got, that guy they got now all tatted up on the one arm? Now, that looks like a bad son of a gun. I'm like, Pete Warner don't look like that. He's an Ohio State player. I say, well, we need one of those badass Ohio State players, kind of like a Bosa or something. But I'm just saying, Pete Warner's a good guy, but I've seen him miss a couple of tackles. Although he ended up with 9 total tackles. So he's going to have the effort there. Amadi's an overachiever. We're not paying him nothing. So he's a backup, and he's forced to play right now. I think, he has a ways to go. Kool-Aid, I don't know how cool he is right now. He might have to go out and get his real name until he does something. No, when you're a stud, then you could be called Kool-Aid. I'm just going to call you Mr. McKinstry or something. Oh, I don't even know what's Kool-Aid's real name. You know what? When I see him, I'm going to call him by his real name until when you...
Jaquincy.
I'm calling him Jaquincy. Jaquincy McKinstry, that's your name, and you can become Kool-Aid when you do something in a Saints uniform.
Oh, yeah.
He ain't done nothing in no Saints uniform. Well, what has Kool-Aid done... And really, have we even hit on the draft since 2017? Think about that. Brian Brzee. I see on the goal line, Brian Brzee's knocked 3 yards back in the end zone. Now, Brian Brzee can rush the passer, but I don't know. If you're a high draft pick, can you do everything? I don't know. Be dominant. You don't want to be a one-trick pony. How about you play good first, second, third? How about you play good against the run, and you can rush the passer. So if I'm Brian Brazee and you want to be the best pro that you can be in the offseason, I'm working on, hey, I know how to rush the passer. I'm worrying about, I don't care if they double team me, I ain't getting knocked back, or I'm gonna work on my technique to stuff the run. The linebackers will love you for that. So if you're trying to better your craft and be the best you can be, and Brian Brazee, what, he has 7.5 sacks? That's right. That's outstanding. He's up there with Cameron Hayward amongst interior defensive linemen. But you know what? But team said, well, let's just run at him. Because you can have players that can be that one-trick pony they can track you down, but then you want to run. Who's the guy with the Cowgirls from Penn State?
Micah Parsons.
Micah Parsons. Okay, him? See, that dude can run, and he's a player. But what the Packers did last year, I'm running right at him. So I'm telling you, that's why you might say, you know, you get all the glory, you get the sacks and tackles for loss and all, but, okay, can you hold your own when they're coming right at you? It's not going to be nothing sexy and all that, or like 0 yards or 1 yard gain, but you're not opening up a big hole. So that's why if you truly want to be the best of the best, that's what you have to do. I mean, if you want to be recognized as like, whoa, we got to pack a lunch against him because it's first, second, or third down. But right now, we have a long ways to go. This is embarrassing. I kind of flip-flopped at the beginning of the week. It was 13.5, 14.5. You know, we do the pick six. And I go, I don't even think the Saints are going to cover. But I thought they would score.
Well, your initial instincts were right there.
I thought they would score. And then tonight, you know, we do have the Silver Slipper tomorrow night. We're going to be second-guessing on Christmas Eve. We're going to be out there. I said, no, I think the Saints could cover it at 14.5. So I said, Packers 27, Saints 13. And all of a sudden, it was 27-0. I said, Steve, look, I got the Packers right, but the Saints can't score. They can't score anything. But, no, anytime you get shut out in the NFL and the rules are skewed towards the offense having success, that's bad. That's bad and nothing to write home about. And right now, the Saints in their stocking, when they go home, it should be old school. They should just have a lump of coal. Ain't no presents. Ain't no presents. You got enough money. Ain't no presents. Sorry. It has to hurt you that bad when you don't win. Or you're going to be like, I'm going to get paid no matter what. You can't have that attitude because I'm telling you, it won't last. It has to be as painful. I don't care if it's the holidays. Now you got to fake the funk around your kids if you got kids and all that. And then, you know, I'll be joyful, but then really it's eating you up inside. And then, you know, you really don't want to be in a conversation because you're so upset what just occurred. Because if you want to live this certain lifestyle and all that, then you got to produce or you got to go do something else. But right now, the Saints team, they earn in their stocking by the chimney a lump of coal. And that's where we're at right now.
I'm sure it's a quiet plane ride home tonight.
Well, hopefully it's private. I don't know. Some of these young kids, though, they act the same way, whether they win or lose. They get on the plane, and then did we win the game? Look, it's like they have now you have to have a short-term memory. Now, you can't dwell on something. Now, if it's like, the 24-hour rule. But, yeah, it has to affect you. I might get in trouble. If I'd be a coach, and they're like, because I've seen some of the players with Coach Barr and all that, and if you cutting up and how you, how it affects you, when you win, and you win, yes, you should celebrate a win. But when you lose, what are you cutting up for? It should bother you. And if it don't bother you, I don't want that dude on my team. He got to go somewhere else. It doesn't mean that much to him.